Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 27, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I am here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.'"
Today is Father's Day, and I want to speak this evening on the parable of the prodigal son. Could be called the parable of the father heart of God. In fact, a book was written with that particular emphasis in mind, although the two linked, the father heart of God and the prodigal son, are linked. But really, this particular book, and I want to look at this tonight, coming at it from the point of view of the father who in fact lost his son for a little while anyway. We've all probably experienced, maybe in our own lives or in the lives of others, a situation where there's been an abusive father or an absent father or a neglectful father. We've all had particular experiences in that way. Now, personally, my father wasn't perfect, but he was a good dad and I loved him very much indeed. And I fortunately had a good home and a good background. I want to give you the background to this particular parable, because under Jewish law, a father must give two-thirds of his estate when it came to giving it away, give a two-thirds of his estate to the elder child and a third to the younger child. Now, the father often distributed the estate before he died if he wanted to retire from the management of the business affairs. Could be that that was happening here, and the son, the younger son, took it as an opportunity to take his heritage and do with it what he wanted to do with it. So there's 5 points. First point is this. This is about the old home, because in this home, we see the father's love available for this child, for this boy. He loved his son. He had a good home, a caring home, and it was unconditional love that the father gave to his son. And yet this man, this young man, felt his home was a restraint. The son wanted to spread his wings, to leave the nest, to do what he wanted when he wanted to do it. And he felt his home was a moral restraint upon him. He felt it stopped him having a good time. And so this young man knew that when he was at home, there were ground rules to be obeyed, which he found irksome and a restraint. He wanted his freedom, and he wanted to do what he liked, when he liked. And so the situation was that the father's love was always available, but that love brought restraints and it made moral demands upon the son, which he didn't really want. So this son's love was a shallow, selfish, arrogant sort of love, where self was central to this young man. The father's love was outgoing, but laid restraints upon the son, which the son wanted to be rid of. was restrictive. The son was also restless. He wasn't satisfied. He felt he was missing something, and he was felt hemmed in and trapped. And so in verse 12, he says, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And he got it off his father, and he was off. Now, how many of us feel that being a follower of Christ will cramp our style if we become followers of Christ, if we become Christians? It will be too much of a restraint upon us. It will stop us enjoying ourselves. Now, the Father's love is always available, but we can walk away from it because love makes demands. And that was the case here. The Father's love was always available to the young son, but the love made demands. So this is the young man in the parable. And the son walked away from the father. Father was brokenhearted. The son made his choice. And when we walk away from our Heavenly Father's love, he's brokenhearted too. So let's see what it says to us here. Well, he goes into this far country away from his father. And so the second point of my five is the far country. It was a long way away from his father. He chose to go as far away as he could, it seems. And when he got to this far off country, he sowed his wild oats, wine, women and song. He had a good time, whatever that might mean. And then came the famine. And he soon ran out of money. He soon ran out of friends. He soon ran out of food. And then he realized how empty it all was. He had nothing. He'd gone into the far country. He'd sowed his wild oats and he felt that he'd got nothing. Now, you may be feeling like that now. You realize that the world that we live in is telling porkies, maybe. And it's all a bit empty. It's not all it was cracked up to be, isn't this far-off country lark? Well, sooner or later, you find that the far country is famine-stricken. And not all the world tells you it is. It has nothing which will feed your real hunger. And nothing that will fill that God-shaped hole in your life. I always say in every one of us, there is a God-shaped hole that can only be filled by a relationship with the God who created us. And that's how the son felt in the story. He felt this God-shaped hole was empty. And that's how the son felt. He was hungry, he was desperate, and a long way from home. So I want to say to you tonight, is that you in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual endeavours, in your spiritual search for that filling that hole that you want to fill and you're looking in the wrong places? Is that you? Well, thirdly is the swine food. The son tried to find food, but was he was unsuccessful. He got a job feeding the pigs. Wasn't a good idea as a Jew to be feeding pigs. Jews were regarded as unclean animals. Certainly Jews weren't allowed to eat pork. Bait and butties were out of the question. And this young man, though, was so barren of everything, he ended up looking after pigs. Now, at last the light began to dawn. And he says to himself in verse 7, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." And I want you to notice that he came to his senses. Now, the Jews believe that so long as a person was away from God and against God, they were not truly themselves. They are only true to themselves when they're on their way home. Now, that's what the Jews believed. They believed that so long as a person was away from God, and they only were true to themselves when they, in fact, were on the way home. Now, it's interesting that the world thinks exactly the opposite. Tony Blair once said that if you say you are believing God, people think you are a nutter. You're out of your senses. You're out of your mind. In this parable, it says the opposite again. The world tells us if you become a follower of Christ, if you become a Christian, if you become a follower of God, then really you must be out of your senses. This parable teaches exactly the opposite. In this parable, it says the opposite time and again. Well, this young man turned back to his father after he'd come to his senses. And when we come to our senses, we recognize that there is a spiritual side of our natures that that is empty. As people, we are mental and physical and spiritual. We're holistic people. We're made in the image of God, whether we admit it or not. And without God, we're incomplete. We're out of our senses. And many people try to live without God, and that's quite possible to do. Many people do it. But feeding swine, well, that's a poor substitute to feeding on good food as sons, compared to life in all its fullness, which Jesus offers. Life in the far country has little to offer. So where are you in your journey of life? Have you gone looking for things in a far country, away from God, because you feel to become a follower of Christ, to fill that God-shaped hole with Christ will take away your good time, whatever that might be? Well, the son could have gone and could have stayed in that far country, but he didn't. He chose to return home. He chose to return to his father. Fourth point is this: the return journey. The time had come. The son decided to seek his father's forgiveness, and he began to think realistically. He began to think of his situation. And on the surface, his motives seem really quite selfish. He was hungry, he was starving, he was empty, and being at home would be far better, he perhaps thought. But he was also away from God. He was choosing his own selfish ways. He was living a life contrary to God's ways, and life with its pleasures seemed empty and substandard and with no future to it. And so he came to his senses and began to realise his choice of enjoying himself wasn't all that he thought it would be. And he realised how stupid he'd been, and so he set off home, leaving behind his reckless living and his false friends, and he confessed to himself and God his sin and his stupidity. So he probably mixed motives when he set off. Motives were probably a little selfish, but he rehearsed what he knew he had to say. And on the way home, he's rehearsing it in his mind. I am no longer fit to be called your son. And he knew he was going to say that to his dad when he got there. And that all adds up to one word, and that's the word repentance. Because the word repentance means a change of mind, a change of direction, an about turn in one's life. And I think there comes a time for all of us when we realise we are probably running on empty. Oh, tonight, you're probably running on empty. You have been for some time. You've heard this message maybe many times. I want to tell you that God loves you and he wants a place in your life. Perhaps you feel you've no direction anymore. You're drifting. Perhaps you've tried what this world offers and you found it fickle and empty. And if we've reached that stage, God wants us to know that he still loves us. The father in our story continued to love his son in his absence. God continues to love us too. God's great desire is to see us returning home, to give us real freedom and forgiveness and a new direction, life with meaning and aim and purpose. Reminds me of that verse in Isaiah 53. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. Is that you tonight? You may not be living it up in a far country. In fact, you may feel your life is pretty dull, really. I don't know. We're all different. Whatever. When we are away from God, we are all in a far country. We need to return home. We need to come to the God who made us. We need to turn around, heading back to him, leaving behind our pride and our self-righteousness. And that's what the son did in our story. And the fifth point is this: the joyful welcome. The son returned home very humbly, willing to be a hired servant. Now, even an ordinary slave was regarded as part of the family. He said to his father, I'm willing to be a hired servant. That's what he was saying to himself all the way home as he anticipated meeting his dad. He'd been rehearsing what he was going to say all the way home. He wasn't just hedging his bets by returning home. He really was sorry and contrite and repentant, and he came home to a waiting, loving father. And there's that beautiful verse in verse 21. But whilst he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. His father was waiting for his son's return. He was longing to forgive him. He was looking down that drive from his home, waiting every day, every morning to see, every afternoon, every evening. He was waiting as he looked down that drive to see whether his son was coming home. Longing to forgive him. And he saw his son. And he ran to meet his son. He ran down the drive to meet his son and put his arms around him and welcomed him and kissed him. I want to tell you a story. It's a true story to finish off with tonight. It's a story that really, it doesn't fit exactly this particular situation, but it talks about the father heart of a man looking for his son. I used to go and take communion to a man called Mr. Day. Mr. Day was 95, I think he was. And I used to take him communion every month. And I went to see him one day and I knew he was very ill. And as I sat by his bedside, it was obvious to me that Mr. Day hadn't got long to live. Now, the thing about Mr. Day was in the First World War, he'd won a military medal for bravery. And I said to him as we sat there talking, I said, Mr. Day, tell me how you won your medal in the First War, your military medal. And he told me this story. He told me that when he was in the trenches, they'd been under a heavy fire and there were a lot of casualties. And a lot of the casualties were still in no man's land, in between the two sets of trenches, the German and the British. And a lot of them were lying in the no man's land, injured and crying out to be rescued from no man's land. But every time anybody tried to get up and go and rescue them and pull them back into the trenches, they were shot at, some were killed, some were wounded. It was a dangerous thing to do. Mr. Day told me how he got up out of the trench to go for a guy that he was hearing crying out for help. And he crawled out to that man under heavy fire. And I said, Mr. Day, how did you get him back? And he said, I put my feet under his armpits. And he said, I dragged him back just a few feet at a time until we got to our trenches. And he was under fire all the time. And he pulled him into the trench safe and sound. And they were all both safe. And they got back safely. He won the military medal for that. And after it had happened, obviously, he was released to go home to see his parents. He came from Manchester. And when he got to Dover, he got onto the train, the troop train that was going one a day up to Manchester. And he climbed on board with all the other troops. And he said, at Manchester, every day they waited. Parents were waiting. Her wives and family were waiting to see whether their sons were coming home on that troop train. They didn't know who was going to be there. And his dad went every night and stood behind this barrier, which was guarded by the police, to watch that train come in and see whether his son. And on that particular day, he saw his son get out of the train. And he jumped out over the barrier before the police could stop him. And he ran down the platform to get hold of his son and embrace his son and tell him his son he loved his son. That is the father heart of God. I find it hard to tell that story sometimes. I haven't done tonight. But I want to tell you that is the father heart of God. And that's the father heart that God has for you. And he wants you to return to him. And when you do return, he grabs you, he runs to meet you, he puts his arms around you and he takes you back to be with himself. And when Jesus taught in parables, he was always looking for people to make a choice. It's the same tonight. God wants to make a choice, wants you to make a choice. We are God's children by creation, but sin has made us as orphans in a far country. Yet God continues to love us. He desires that we return to him. He desires to forgive us. He desires to reinstate us. He desires to adopt us back into his family. And it's all of grace. God's unmerited favour. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can simply receive it as a gift. And when we return to God our Father through Christ, he forgives us for the past, for all the mistakes that we've made. And he gives us power for the present and by the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. And he gives us a certainty for the future in a world that doesn't have a certainty. What a loving Heavenly Father we have. I want to say to you as we leave this talk tonight, where are you in your journey? Are you still in the far country? Are you still sowing your wild oats? Are you still thinking to yourself that God's a restraint upon you? Don't you believe it. When you find Christ and put your trust in him and he embraces you, he gives you that certainty for a future. He fills that God-shaped hole, which is what he wants to do tonight. Will you put your trust in him and ask him to come into your life and in your heart and your personality and make you one of his, a son of God? Amen.